Before we proceed, it's important to be aware of the problems raised by our use of language in describing subjective experience. Despite the universality of the experience of consciousness, the languages in which we articulate our subjective experiences have their roots in disparate cultural, historical, and linguistic backgrounds. These diverse backgrounds represent different cognitive frameworks, conceptual mapping, linguistic practices, or philosophical and spiritual heritage. For example, in Western European languages, one speaks of consciousness, the mind, mental phenomena, and awareness. Similarly, in the context of Buddhist philosophy of mind, one speaks of lo, buddhi in Sanskrit, shepa, jnana, and rigpa, vidya. All of these can be roughly translated as awareness or intelligence in the broadest sense of the term. Buddhist philosophers also speak of sem, or citta in Sanskrit, mind in English, namche, or vijnana in Sanskrit, consciousness, and yi, or manas in Sanskrit, mentality or mental states. The Tibetan word namche, or its Sanskrit equivalent vijnana, which is often translated as consciousness, has a broader range of application than the English term in that it covers not only the whole range of conscious experiences, but also those forces that might be recognized as part of the so-called unconscious, according to modern psychological and psychoanalytical theories. Furthermore, the Tibetan word for mind, which is sem, or Sanskrit citta, covers not only the realm of thought, but also that of emotion. We can speak of the phenomena of consciousness without excessive confusion, but we need to be heedful of the limitations of our respective linguistic terms. The problem of describing these subjective experiences of consciousness is complex indeed, for we risk objectifying what is essentially an internal set of experiences and excluding the necessary presence of the experiencer. We cannot remove ourselves from the equation. No scientific description of the neural mechanisms of color discrimination can make one understand what it feels like to perceive, say, the color red. We have a unique case of inquiry. The object of our study is mental. That which examines it is mental. And the very medium by which the study is undertaken is also mental. The question is whether the problems posed by this situation for a scientific study of consciousness are insurmountable. Are they so damaging as to throw serious doubt on the validity of the inquiry? Although we tend to relate to the mental world as if it were homogeneous, a somewhat monolithic entity called the mind, when we probe more deeply, we come to recognize that this approach is too simplistic. As we experience it, consciousness is made up of myriad highly varied and often intense mental states. There are explicitly cognitive states like belief, memory, recognition and attention on the one hand, and explicitly affective states like the emotions on the other. In addition, there seems to be a category of mental states that function primarily as causal factors in that they motivate us into action. These include volition, will, desire, fear, and anger. Even within the cognitive states, we can draw distinctions between sensory perceptions, such as visual perception, which has a certain immediacy in relation to the objects being perceived, and conceptual thought processes, such as imagination or the subsequent recollection of a chosen object. These latter processes do not require the immediate presence of the perceived object, nor do they depend upon the active role of the senses. In Buddhist philosophy of mind, we find discussion of various typologies of mental phenomena together with their distinct characteristics. First, there is the following sixfold typology: experiences of sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, and the mental states. The first five are sensory experiences, while the last covers a wide range of mental states from memory, will, and volition to imagination. The mental states dependent upon the five senses are thoroughly contingent upon sensory faculties that are understood to be material, while mental experiences enjoy a greater independence from physical bases.